How would you translate the word Shalosh Suras? Just before we go any further. Shalosh Suras means three meals. Now, so you see, that's the problem, is that really the most appropriate name for the meal should be Suda Shlishit, right? Which is the third meal, right? But we call it, some people call it Shalosh Suras. There's no shin at the beginning of Suras, but it is Shalosh Suras, which literally means three meals. But you're not having three meals right now. You couldn't possibly have three meals at this point in Shabbos. So why do we call it Shalosh Suras itself? Very famous question. The Divrei Emes, the Gera Rebbe, is quoted as saying the following. This is the way just to begin. And the Gera Rebbe says the following. Tam Shekorin Suda Shlishis, Shalosh Suras, which is clearly the predominant name. Three meals. Levisha Bozer, whom Makayim call Hasudas. In this meal, you are actually achieving all the rest of the meals. Ki harishonos gam hu ra'ei v'yesh lo hana'a. You come home Friday night, you're hungry. You come home Shabbos morning, you're hungry. Okay? So he says, hagam shu mitzuveh v'karos la Shabbos oneg. Okay. You are commanded that you should make Shabbos pleasurable. Ach, sudazu v'adai megale shu l'shem shamayim. When it comes to Shalosh Suras, this is the time it becomes very clear, it becomes patently clear that the only reason you're eating it is for the sake of heaven. Ki eino toiv, at that point in time, we are clearly not in a state, not just in the winter, even in the summer, not in a state of hunger. Mimela misakin akol, and it, the third meal, fixes up everything else. Therefore, alkei nikres gimel suras, that's why we call it the three meals. And it is called by the way you finish it. So by the way that you finish your Shabbos shows you what the rest of Shabbos was. Why was it you had so much beforehand? We can say, yes, we can see that the point was really, really, in the balance of your hunger versus L'shem Shemaim, of having a Suda because Hashem said we should have, the scales are tilted towards the fact that it's L'shem Shemaim. That's just a beginning point. That's why we call this meal the three meals, because it encompasses all those three meals. Now, if you were to look to the Gemara and you look across all of Shas, there's very, very little space or words expended actually on this meal itself. The way it comes up is the Gemara is talking on Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and it says that if a person is, it's the perek where it's talking about where a person is saving things from a fire. Right? So what are you allowed to save from a fire on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, that you're allowed to, if your house is burning down, Rachmana Litzlan, if a person's house is burning down, so how much is one able to, on Shabbos, save from the fire? So the Mishnah says, you're allowed to save food for three meals. And on that, the Gemara says, well, why is food for three meals? There's a machlokes in the Mishnah, whether it is three meals or the amount of meals left in the day of Shabbos. I mean, is it a day's rations, or is it the Shabbos meals rations left? Which is the machlokes in the Mishnah. The Gemara says on this, and this is where we enter into the discussion in source to the Gemara in Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan, kama suras chayav adam le'achol b'Shabbos. How many meals is one expected to eat on Shabbos? Shalosh. The unnamed first opinion says three, and Rabbi Chidka Amer arba. Rabbi Chidka said four. Can you imagine? So it says Amar Rabbi Yochanan shnei mikra echad darshu. They learned this from the same pasuk, which is our coming parsha, Parshas B'Shalach. Yes, that's why it's this week. Shkach to those who made mention. Vayomer Moshe chluhu hayom ki Shabbos hayom laHashem. So the you're expected to eat it today because today is Shabbos to Hashem. Hayom lo timtzu basadeh. Today you're not going to find it in the field. What's this referring to? The man, right? So when the man comes down, there's two sets of rules which are very interesting. Rule number one is that you can't leave over from one day to the next. Right, even though people did try. Rule number two is the opposite rule, is that on Friday specifically you take two. Well, and now you eat it today because today is the day is Shabbos. Rabbi Yochid ko asovar hanitzlosa yom lebar me ursa, Rabbanon Savri bahadi ur de ursa. Then the machlokes is whether the three that are mentioned in the pasuk. Three what? What three is mentioned in the pasuk? Okay, fantastic. So the Mishnah is the pasuk mentions the word Hayom three times. So it says today. And the Mefarshim explained what that means to say is that is reforming the word ichluhu. It. Meaning eat it today. You're expected to eat it three times today. So So the machlokes in the brayse is whether those three times are excluding the evening or including the evening. We know, of course, the halacha is that we include the evening. Therefore, the three times are the evening, the morning, and the afternoon. Beautiful. Now, the Gemara continues to say that there's a big discussion in the middle about trying to understand Rabbi Chidko in context of another few brayses. But then finally, the Gemara concludes with the following statement: Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapra. So we have the statement in the name of Bar Kafra, who says that Kol Hamakayim Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos Nitzol Mishalosh Puranios. A person who eats three meals on Shabbos is saved from three punishments. What are they? Mechev LeMashiach, the sufferings of the birth pangs of Mashiach. Midina Shel Gehinnom, from the judgment, the severe judgment of Gehinnom. And Mimichemas Gog Magog, from the war of Gog Magog, the apocalypse. And as we discussed on Sukkos, that isn't a very positive, and certainly at the beginning, it's not a very positive experience. Right, because the word yom, of course, is our operative word to show us how many meals you need. So it says yom by the day that Eliyahu is going to come. By the way, we sing that, it's a beautiful song and everything like that. That's a scary pasuk. Okay, chevle Moshiach. When it says awesome, it means awesome in every sense of the word awesome. Right? So it's saying we're going to be saved from that if you have that Hayom of your Shabbos. That's a day of anger, referring to Gehinnom. And finally, it says day in Shabbos and referring to Shabbos. The day of Gog will come. You have to think to yourself, I mean, what's the connection? Meaning, it's wonderful, and there's three of them, and they're all around the same sort of time frame, but what's the connection between them? Meaning, it sounds... Right, what was that? Right, there are a lot of yoms in the Torah. So the Torah Tamim, Rav Baruch Epstein, says that, in fact, what's going on over here is that an interesting thing, on a microcosm, what you're doing at Shalosh Sudos, we're going to get into this a little bit later, more in detail, is at Shalosh Sudos, a person is perhaps... At that point in time, his eating is painful to him. You know, eating is really not a pleasure at that point in time. But nevertheless, you force yourself to eat, and at the end, you feel achieved. You say, you know, I had Shalosh Sudos. I didn't find an excuse or a walk away from it. So he says, the Torah Tamima, it's a process that is meaningful only after you finish it, Shalosh Sudos. Because a lot of times, there's a big discomfort in eating Shalosh Sudos. We'll see how to avoid that. But interesting. I don't know. There's a Shalosh Sudos Mashiach at the end of Pesach. Not sure. I've not done enough research on that. But he says that all of these processes over here are the same thing. These are processes that a person has to undergo. And it's meaningful at the end, meaning it's a necessary evil. It's a necessary evil to sit through the Chevle Mashiach, to go through a process of cleansing in the netherworld, and finally also the giving of Chemes Gog Magog. So what we're experiencing on a microcosm in our lives, if we're prepared to, for the L'shem Shemaim, realize that there's a bigger point than what we're feeling right now, Hashem says, you know what, I'm going to save you from experiences which are going to be painful, but there's a meaning at the end, because you've already experienced it, which is very interesting. That's what Rav Baruch Epstein says over here. Very fascinating. By the way, this is most of the Gemara that really discusses Shalosh Sudos. There's very little that goes much more than this. So now let's discuss this in the bigger picture. First of all, just off the bat, is this a biblical commandment over here? Is the Torah biblically telling us that we need to eat Shalosh Sudos? No. Why no? It says in the Torah, right? What was that? So it's interesting. It's mentioned in the Torah, but what you're saying is that it's dependent on what the Torah was saying, right? So it happens to be a machlokes, there's a levush and a prima godim, who discuss, is this a command or not? But the Aruch HaShulchan says, bottom line, even if you're going to suggesting that it's an asmachta, that really the rule is rabbinic, but it fits into the text where there was a hint to couch that idea, says the Aruch HaShulchan, at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu received that. Meaning, at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not like we're saying now, this is something that's historical. The question was, did Moshe Rabbeinu know about this? The Aruch HaShulchan says, yes, we may not have been commanded about it, but it was an ordinance which was so early that Moshe was even knowing about it, that he even knew about it. So the Torah might not be telling us or commanding us, but certainly it's an extremely early tradition that we're talking about. It's not something which came up, you know, in the 13th century. That's just an important, a very important point that the Aruch HaShulchan brings up in terms of the origins of this. Now let's get into a few of the details. First of all, in understanding who is chayav in this, who is expected to partake in Shalosh Sudos. So yes, gentlemen, all of us in this room are. There's no escaping that. But there also happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch explicitly says that women are also chayavas in Shalosh Sudos. Women are expected to take part in Shalosh Sudos. Now, there's a bit of a problem with that, because usually the rule is that a woman is only expected, or a woman is only obliged to take part in. I apologize. I did not mean to exclude anybody in the first statement. But it is true. Everybody is expected to. Why? In the end of the day, it is a mitzvah, I say, it is a positive command which has a time bound. It is bound by a specific time on Shabbos. So why in the end of the day are women expected to or obliged to take part in that? Okay, so fantastic. So says the Rabbeinu Nissim, as Baruch was quoting over here, Rabbeinu Nissim says in his first suggestion, he says, "Kos Rabbeinu Tam, zal d'noshim chayovas begimul suros, v'chein nami livtzoy al shnei kikaros." Women are expected to take part in this. Why? She'af hein hayu ba'oisah hanes. They were part of the nes. We're used to seeing that when it comes to things like Chanukah, or you write or putting. There's all kinds of places where, meaning, we were all saved together. Afen oyu ba'os anes doesn't mean to say also, you know, just, you know, saved from death. It's afen oyu ba'os anes. The experience of the desert was a nes. Our sustenance was a nes, and everybody benefited from that. And therefore, in commemoration for that, which is where the source of Shalosh Sudos is, of course, therefore, repercussions of women. But there's another reason why as well, and that is right. Everybody is chayv in Shabbos. Wait a second. Shabbos has aspects which are positive and they're time bound. So says Rabbeinu Tam in the second explanation, he says ve'ein tzorech. You don't even need this. Says Rabbeinu Tam at the end of the first line in source three. Shebechol ma'aseh Shabbos ish ve'isha shavin. We know that women and men have the same expectations in regard to Hilchos Shabbos. Why? Kediel finon mizachar v'shamar es sheyeshna b'shmira yeshna b'zechira uvichlal ze havikol chiyuvei Shabbos. Says Rabbeinu Tam a very important rule, and that is, we know that there's a discrepancy between the first and second set of luchos, right? There's a number of discrepancies, and one of them was it says zachar and it says shamar in the different sets of tablets. So which was it? So the Gemara says zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad nemru, that the word zachar and shamar, which is impossible for a human to comprehend, was said simultaneously by God. They were actually said at the same time. Now that creates an interesting halachic framework, which is called a hekesh. Usually a hekesh means that there's a connection between words which are adjacent in the Torah. So you can take a concept from one word to another because they are, we'll call it, contextually bound. Here you have a hekesh because they were, we'll call it, simultaneously bound. Right? They were said simultaneously, therefore there's a connection between them. Now, what is the difference between Zachar and Shamar? What, besides the fact that one means remember, one means God, but halachically, what is the difference between them? Right, fantastic. Shamar is always one of the negative commandments, which means Shamar is capturing the half of Shabbos, which is the refraining from. Zachar is all the positive elements of it, for instance, Kiddush, Oineh, covered all the different parts that are that four part of Shabbos, including Shalosh Sudos. And therefore, the Hekesh is that they are connected, so therefore, not only men, men are chayv in both, of course, but a woman who might be, you might think, would be parted from the Zohar element, which is the positive element, because they were said simultaneously, and a woman is a chayeves in all the negative or the prohibitions of the Torah, irrespective, will therefore be part of that as well, which is very, just a very fascinating thing that Rabbeinu Tam suggests over here. But let's take this a little further. Why, if I may ask you, why in the end of the day, the Torah tells us, okay, Hayom, it says Hayom three times, we see that it includes everybody who was there in the Nes. But let's think about this for a moment. Why exactly then should Shalosh Sudos be when it is? Meaning, the Torah tells us that you need to eat three meals because it says Hayyad. So you know, let's say you had a long Friday night, yeah, and you decided to have two or three meals then. Surely you should be done, right? Meaning, isn't that sufficient? After all, the Torah just says Hayyam today. Why in the end of the day does it mean, do we have to have those three meals in the framework? We know that the halacha is you can only have Shalosh Sudos starting from Chatzos, from six and a half hours from the time that you can start saying Mincha, onwards is the only time you can eat Shalosh Sudos, which presents a problem in Shabbos, right, when you have Erev Pesach, which is on Shabbos, and you need to eat some form of bread, we're going to see in a moment, and you're stuck because you can't eat matzah, but you can't eat bread because it's Erev Pesach, and you need to eat after Chatzos, and that's the time when the prohibition of eating any bread has kicked in. So what are you going to do for Shalosh Siddurs? But where in the first place? Why is that time frame even extant? Why is there such a limitation? What was that? Interesting. Maybe if they're too close to each other, there would be no way of really doing it properly. Very possibly. Meaning to say, the breakage then is we'll call it human. Interesting. So you want meaning to say you don't want to congregate them because it diminishes from each of them, which is similar to what Moshe is saying in terms of Achila Gasa. There has to be sort of.
But you can't really say that because that would depend on latitude and longitude. Because if, for example, if you're in Russia in the wintertime, you'll have a very long night, a very short day, and you have more Achila Gasa issues during the daytime.
Right. That's true. So it might not be an Achila Gasa issue. It may be. Well, the Aruch HaShulchan suggests, and he says this is the beauty of when you learn Aruch HaShulchan. He says, I haven't seen this anywhere. And it surprises me that I haven't seen this anywhere, but this must be the logic. He says it must be that for there to be a distinct Siddur, it needs to have its own name. It needs to have its own space in order to be a distinct Siddur. If the Torah is telling you, Ichluhu Hayom, 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 each one needs to be distinct. The only way it can be distinct if it's got its own name. So when you come into Shabbos, you have Siddur Salaila, right? This is the night meal. It's distinct. When you come to the day, how do you have distinct meals? Only if you have Suras Shachris, Suras Erev, right? The Suda in the morning and the afternoon. They have to follow some form of distinct time frame. The one follows Shachris, the one follows Mincha. In order for that, otherwise, it could just be simply, part two of the same meal. What distinguishes them is the fact that they fall into different time frames. What different time frames in the day do we have? The Tfilos. So they follow the same time frame. What's the problem with this logic, though? There's a kickback on this. So what's the problem with this, then? And he recognizes this. If this is true, you should only be able to eat meal number two when? Before Chatzos, right? If this is true, says Aruch HaShulchan, he recognizes this issue, that means there's domains of the day. There's night, morning, afternoon. That would really mean that you have to eat your Suda Shnia, which we call our Shabbos morning, right? In the morning, because that's its domain. Oh, right, and there's an issue you can't fast, but that you could get away with. You could have a nice Kiddush at the Young Israel on Cedarhurst and come home and run. You could have three Kiddushes. Whoa. You're right, so people are mocking, of course. But it doesn't mean you don't have to eat the meal necessarily. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, because of this logic, and I haven't seen this anywhere else, he says, I'm always makbid to make sure I begin my meal before Chatzos on Erev Shabbos. Not just to eat anything. He makes sure to get home and start his meal. Why? Because that's the domain for the Suda Shnia. Because it has to be distinct from the rest. Is that unbelievable? I mean, he sits there in the base medrash and he comes up with this incredible chiddush, and it's the only way he can see that it works. And then now he has enough come in and it impacts his life. So what does he do? He writes it down and he adheres to it. He changes his practice. It's unbelievable. Just to see the beauty, the intellectual honesty over here. So he says, that's why on Shabbos I make sure to always at least begin my Shabbos meal, which is not so easy sometimes. It's not so easy to begin your meal before let's say, sometimes 12:30. We're not giving any approbations to any particular minyanim over here, but there are...
That's why the meeting was started. Thank you.
Okay, fabulous. There we go. So I'm glad that everybody's taking this to heart. So what do you have to do? So now, that's in terms of the time frame. That's in terms of who is expected to partake in this. But now, let's take it a little further. What are you supposed to eat? So, there are varying shittas. And post, perhaps most stringent shitta that is on the books is that of the Rambam. The Rambam says the following, and if I could direct your attention to source 5. The Rambam dedicates two halachas to this in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos. In Perek Halacha Tes is the first one. He says, "Chai olam leechol shalosh suras b'Shabbos, achas arvis, v'achas shachris, v'achas b'mincha." There's three meals that one is obliged to eat: one in the evening, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. That relates to the Aruch HaShulchan's division, right? It's based on the domains of time. You should not diminish one of them at all. Right? I mean, this is a expectation to the degree that a person may need to borrow for this. A person is sick or a person is generally a faster. Interesting, I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what that means. He is exempt from Shalosh Surahs. And now he concludes, Tzorech likboya kol suda shemishloshton al hayayin v'lifzoy al shnei shtei kikoros. He says you need to have it on wine and to have two bread. That's what the Rambam says. Now, does that mean that you need to have kiddush at Shalosh Surahs?
No.
Yeah, so it's not clear. Just to be candid over here, the Rambam doesn't say that you need to be mevorech al hayayin. He just says kovea al hayayin. Right. So the Achorim Dan, they try to work out within this Rambam, is he expecting kiddush per se? Or does it just mean to say it needs to be a significant meal in the sense that you bring out the wine? Nobody can complain of extra wine, right? So says the Rambam, when one should, this gives it a sense of gravity, this meal over here, which is why some of the Achronim say that a person should endeavor to have this. That's the most extreme formulation of this. It's not just you take out meal, with your hamburger and fries. It's a very different sense of the meal over here. But the way the Mechilta formulates it is a little different, a little subtle to the more than the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Yisab Yerushalmi b'Mechilta." He says in source 6, "De besura shlishis tzarich lefachos kikar echad shalim mishum de b'yom vav on Friday." He says you need one loaf. Why? Because on Friday in the desert during those 40 years they got yorad l'kol echad shnei omrim. They received each two omrim. What do they do? Mikol omer asu shtei kikaros. And they made out of those two loaves of bread. They broke them into two. Harei dalad v'shnei omrim. So they have four because of the two omrim. Achal echad be'er Shabbos, echad be'leil Shabbos. One was in the morning or lunchtime Friday. One was on Friday night. Be'echad be'boker. One was in the morning. Harei nishar lo echad sholem l'sudah shlishis. And the fourth one would be left for Shalosh Surahs. So he feels that there's a necessity to have a loaf each, which is interesting the way he's doing it, because if you think about it, that would have technically have been the night meal on Motzei Shabbos, but it's being shifted in Hayom Ichlu, right? That you're eating it today becomes part of the expression of the Shabbos, which is interesting the way the Mechilta is bringing it out of here. So the very least, and the Poskim say this, in fact, La Halacha, that if a person only has one loaf, one should endeavor to at least have one roll, even if one isn't able to have the Mishnah Lechem for Shalosh Surahs.
Sounds like the Torah says he has to have a meal Erev Shabbos.
I think that means to say that on a regular Friday, that was his meat, that was his food. Because remember, the man came down double-layered on Friday. So what is he going to eat on Friday? So he broke it up his meal and he rationed it off. And it happens to be one of those went for a Friday meal and three of them went for a Shabbos meal, the way he's breaking it up. Now,
it's also something the Torah says that the mitzvah is really, that the practice is really to recapitulate what happened in the mitzvah.
Right, exactly. I mean, he's using it as a model to the fullest degree. Right, he's using it as a model to the fullest degree, which is why the kikar echad comes out of here. Well, this is the minimum. He says, notice the way he quotes it. He says lefachos, right? Meaning he's acknowledging the Rambam. Right, but the point, Arminag is two, certainly. But the point is that in the case where there's not two, you should still have one. You should still search that out. Now, it happens to be there's a very interesting parallel over here. And that is that there are others who suggest that there might be another available menu for Shalosh Surahs. And they get this from the fact that they look to the halachas of sukkah. Because if, in general, you can say there's a halacha what's called a sudah in general, right? So if we can define what a meal is meant to be in halacha, then we can move from section to section with this, you will call, generic definition. So it happens to be in sukkahs we have a generic definition of a meal. Where does that happen? So we know, this is the Mishnah in Sukkah Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us the following. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Arbo Estrei Sudas Chayav Adam Le'achol B'Sukkah. A person is expected to eat 14 meals in a sukkah. Why 14 meals? Right, despite what Kellogg's tells you, right, there were only 2 days of two meals a day in those days. So therefore, there was lunch and supper. So you'd have 14 meals. A person is expected to make sure he has 14 meals. He or she has 14 meals in the sukkah. Achas b'yom v'achas b'layla. V'chachomim omrim. And a davar kitzva. The Chachamim said, "You'll never. There's no upper or lower limit. Chutz milele yom tov harishon shel chag bilvad, except for the first night of Sukkos. Why is that different? Because that's midoraisa. Because why? Because the first night of Pesach is midoraisa. There's a limud from Pesach to Sukkos. So the Chachamim say have to first night, rest of it keep eating as much as you can in the sukkah. But there's no upper or lower limit. If you miss out a meal, so what should you do? You should have tashlamim. You should, because there's a set number, and let's say you don't eat the set number, so you should fill up all those missed nights at the end, says Rabbi Eliezer. He's very serious about the number. So the Gemara indiscreet, now notice over here, that this is a chiyuv of suda. This is a chiyuv of having a meal. So if we can work out what the meal consists of, then that will help us by understanding another meal, which is shalosh sudas. So, we have the following. The Gemara says, Voidom Rabbi Eliezer, let's go from actually that is the second line. The second line, Omar Bira Omar Ravami. This is the second paragraph of source 7, and this is Gemara in Sukkah Chavzayinu Aleph. Chazar by Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer went back from this particular detail. Mashlim b'mai, but what would you be mashlim? What would be the tashlumim for missed meals? Ilema berifta suda diyuma ka'achil. If you're going to pull out bread, it looks like you ate the meal of the day already. It's not different from what you ate already. It could just be part two of your lunch. Elo ma yashlim, what hashlama should you have? Yashlim b'minei targima. You should have it with minei targima, which means fruit. So over here you see something interesting. On the day where you've already had lunch, and you have an additional meal because you need to make up for the missed meals according to Rabbi Eliezer, even though we don't paskin like this. But says Rabbi Eliezer, it needs to be distinct. How do you make a second meal on a day distinct? Is by having fruit. It counts as a suda, but it's distinct from what you ate beforehand. So says Rabbeinu Nissim, this is a revolutionary point, is he says, look at that, isn't that the exact example? We've had our suda rishona on Shabbos, and now you want to have, your suda shniya in the morning, and now you want to have suda shlishis, and you want it to be distinct, so have fruit. It should act in the exact same way. That's the parallel that he says, and it's quite striking. However, when the Shulchan Aruch brings us down, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Stam, meaning the halacha is, we should have two breads. Some opinions, he says, yesh omrim, meat, and yesh omrim, the fruit, based on this. Now, it happens to be when the Shulchan Aruch sets up halacha, although the Shulchan Aruch many times make quite many opinions, the way he formulates it is important as to the psak. This is what's called a stam, yesh omrim, which means a unqualified halacha followed by two yesh omrims, two opinions. In such a case, the halacha is generally like the stam, like the unqualified opinion at the beginning. Which is why the Aruch HaShulchan says that although it is true that those opinions do exist, fruit and meat as a replacement for bread, he says they are only arguing on a bidi'evid level. That's only if a person has no other choice that a person should do that. But certainly he feels, certainly the fact that the Rambam and most of the Rishonim pass in this way to have the bread.
Because after Mincha, the rabbi speaks, there's no shal shudas. So people eat the fruit before they come to shul for Mincha.
But it's just as easy to eat bread before, as well. Not easy, but it's just as important to eat the bread as well. So what the poskim generally say is, although these opinions do exist, it's certainly b'shas adachak to rely on them, and that seems to be clear from the formulation of the Shulchan Aruch himself. But now there's actually a bit of an issue over here, and it's very difficult. This could be an extremely difficult thing. Right, after all, the Rambam says that when can you rely on not eating shalosh sudas? Only if you're sick. Right, that's pretty extreme. That means to say if it's painful or discomfort, a person should still be having shalosh sudas. So interestingly enough, in halacha, there are a number of suggestions made as to addressing this. The Tur, coming back to Rabbeinu Yaakov, says the following. And he says in source 10, V'achochom enof v'roshai, a person who is preparing himself, is a person who's wise, his eyes on his head, meaning you're going to look to the future. What are you going to do? Meaning, because we know the halacha is that you have to have shalosh shlishis, so make sure not to eat too much in the morning, right? You have a kiddush, a second kiddush, a kiddush in the house, and a suda shnia, right? It's going to be hard to have shalosh sudas, says the Torah. Uvizimna mishegia zmana mincha, as we said beforehand, the time that it starts is from mincha time, dahainu mivav sha'os umechza ulamala, from 6.5 hours onwards. v'loy kodem, and not beforehand. Hilkach, oisum shemafsikin misuras shachris, l'chalek lishnayim. By the way, I thought about this, and I always wished that I would be able to do this. This is such a great idea. And then I found it in Pesach. He says, those people have the minag, when they're in the middle of the meal in the day, and they between courses, they stop the meal. After their, let's say they have a fish course or a salad course, and they stop the meal. He says, "V'adai lo yigiyas v'ana mincha ena makami mitzvos gimel." So you shouldn't do that before 6.5 hours, which is usually not a problem for us. Aval yigiyas v'ana mincha yocholin la'asosam yarachar sudas shachris. He suggests maybe what you should do is split your morning suda, take a break in the middle, say your birkas hamazon, and start again. And this way, you're not going to run into issues of overeating. He says, "V'chenoy oisei adoni avi arosh sal." And this, who did this? His father, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, would have this practice. The Rosh said that, I know myself that if I would carry on eating and finish this meal, and have the same amount of consumption, and then come to the end of the day, I wouldn't be able to do it. So what I do, I have the same consumption, but I divide it into two meals. And interesting enough, he's quoting for the Rosh in his response, in his responsa. It happens to be found in Klal Chof Beis Simon Dalet, where the Rosh addresses this. And he said there are two provisos which are not mentioned over here for him in the Torah. Number one is, he says, it's not an issue of Rocha Shein Tzricha. Usually there's a problem. You shouldn't really put yourself into a situation when you're going to necessitate a bracha which is unnecessary, right? So over here, what you're doing, you're saying Birkas Mazon will make you need a new Birkas HaMotzi right away. So he says, don't of that, because over here, the reason why you're having the second one is because of a mitzvah. The second part of the meal now is your mitzvah, so therefore it gets around that issue. But he does caution, and he says, one should not dorish barabim. A person shouldn't talk about this publicly. What's his concern? So why am I saying this? His concern is that people are going to... The real concern he has is that, as was mentioned in Davia, is people may come on Shushul at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they have their meal, and they split into two then. But it's at 11:30 then, right? And it doesn't count as Shara Surah if you're not past Chatzos. Generally, that's not so much of an issue, because our shuls usually go later, by the time we all get home. I mean, we know it takes a little bit of time, so usually our meals are usually going past Chatzos in general. But he cautions, he's very concerned about that issue of splitting up the meal when it's too early. But this in fact, is his way of dealing with this. Yes?
Is there any need to dive in mincha before
Chatzos? Okay.
It seems to be only, from here, it seems to be
Zman mincha. Yes, so some of the poets can say, the Aruch HaShulchan, when he's trying to work out the time frames, he says, if it was dependent on mincha, then it would be great, because it could only be after mincha. In fact, you'll see in the Poskim, I don't want to get into this today, but there is a fascinating Rabbeinu Tam who says that by Mincha L'Mariv, on Motzei Shabbos, a person shouldn't drink anything. So, and there's a concern, because that is a period where spiritually the Neshamas are ascending to heaven, so a person shouldn't be drinking at that point in time. And it's a very interesting discussion, and the Poskim deals with that. We don't Paskin that way at all. But other Rabbi, actually, in the Poskim, what they're dealing with is, how can you be eating after Mincha? So it's not dependent on Mincha itself. That's proviso number two that the tourist says. But I found this very, very fascinating Shibbolei Aleket. The Shibbolei Aleket goes through over here of discussions regarding Shabbos, and he has a whole section of Shabbos. So at the very end of the section in Source 11, he says the following. This is just to illustrate the severity of this. He says the following. Bagada. There's a Agada which says the following. Rabbi Akiva hoyo yoshev uboyche b'Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva would be sitting and crying on Shabbos. So Amar lo Talmidov, Limaton Rabbeinu v'karos l'Shabbos oineg. He says, but didn't you tell us that Shabbos is supposed to be a pleasurable and an enjoyable experience? He says, Amar lohem, ze oineg sheli. This is my oineg. Now what's going on over here clearly? It must mean that he is eating Shabbos Sudas, but it is painful to him at this point in time, but he's crying, and they're saying to him, but how can you be doing this, Rabbi? And so his answer is despite the pain, the fact that I'm having Shalosh Sudas is my pleasure, right? Meaning he's on such a sublime level that this is what really causes him pleasure. So it says the Shibbolei Aleket, Yesh mochichin mikan, she'odom shemazekes lo'yachil she'en rogil le'echol harbe, she'pot megimol sudas, tahaynu oinek she'loi. So you can hear from here that if you're not on the same sublime level of Rabbi Akiva, and eating over here is going to be something which is a painful experience, and therefore, we're going to measure your pleasure-pain spectrum, and you're going to be well into the pain spectrum, then really you should be saying, no, this is not oneg for me anymore. You're not like Rabbi Akiva in the end of the day. Rikimachu asur lechol. He says that, and some people say that it's actually forbidden to eat. So ha, komet sayerle, ma da'achil. Because it's hurting you to eat. He says, I don't think this is necessarily so. The garcino perga yoshe in shol apotropos shol agrifos amelech. One of the employees, one of the guardians of Agrippus Amelech, was asked, as Rabbi Eliezer, kagon anisha any rogil lechol as sura achas b'yom, mahu. He came over to Rabbi Eliezer and he said, generally, my practice is one meal a day. I'm a one meal a day, keep the doctor at bay kind of guy. So what I do, on Shabbos, am I expected to eat another meal? He says, Mao sh'orchel shura surachas uv iftar. That should be sufficient for me. Om aloi, b'chol yoim shatol mamshich, kama parporos la'atzmecha, v'akshav iatol mamshich parporos achas akvoid konach. Let's be honest. There's a Dunkin' Donuts around the corner, right? I'm sure although you eat one meal, right, I'm sure you're going to get a snack at some point in time during the day, right? So, meaning, there was once a Dunkin' Donuts ad, which was, you know, lunchtime is, their slogan was, lunchtime is over, and dinner is a far, far time away. A very far, far time away. And there was a tune to it. Right, but that's, the point is that we all have the times where we go out and we get something. So he says, you're going to do that on a weekday, and you're not going to make that extra effort to have just a little bit extra on Shabbos? He says, Om aloi, b'chol yom atom mamshich, and that's what it is. Hachonami yesh loymar, shalvi shamazekes la'achil atzorek la'amshich sura achas ikvoy konai. He says, in general, you have a little bit extra, have a little bit extra on Shabbos, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks from you. And then he says, v'im einu yochol le'achol achil ha'meruba mipnei shamazekes la'yochol achil ha'mu'ertes v'la'yavatel migimun sura. He says, okay, you don't have to have a three-course meal, but you can have at least something, right? Because in general, we are able to fit something in during the rest of the day. And if that means to say not having the something earlier in the afternoon, so you can have something later in the afternoon in the Shalosh Shuras, that's the better way to do it, to go about it, says Shibbol HaLekat. Which leads us into a very interesting point. And this is something which I think Moshe, you were mentioning beforehand, and that is, why is it that there is a Chiyuv of Shalosh Shuras in the first place? Not questioning the Torah's logic, but just giving us a sense of it. Says this, the Sefer Tamei HaMinhagim, that the reason is because the Torah mandates that there's three meals, and two of them, of course, in the day, because they're in the different domains of the morning and the afternoon. That means to say that you're going to have to curtail the amount you're going to eat in the morning. Because you know there's another surah coming. Imagine that it was only like a regular day and all you're required to eat was lunch. So you know it would be a feast of kings. You wouldn't stop until you dropped. Most, some of us actually do that. We fall into our naps right afterwards. But says the Sefer Tamei HaMinhagim, the reason why there are three meals is in order to temper meal number two in the day. Because you know you have to make space. He takes the very logic that we've been talking about here, the difficulty that we're talking about, and he says that's the reason why it exists. Unbelievable how he flips it back. And that is how the Sefer Tamei HaMinhagim concludes. I'd like to just end with the last words of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says that in general, what happens is during the week, the expectation is you go out and you find your man. And you go out and you work and you get your meal. Shabbos is the day where the work that you do is beforehand. The work that you do is beforehand. And on Shabbos, you're actually benefiting now from the meal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference over here. It is not an expression of weakness. It's an expression of power that we're able to do our work beforehand, representative of the whole expression of Shabbos itself, where we're getting extra from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The time where we're not working is the time where we have the extra, because we Hashem wants to empower us to enjoy His world, even the extra bit, which is beyond what we would regularly do during the week, is on Him. And that's the Shalosh Shuras. In fact, it is the meal number what in the week? If you don't count the week's wheels, it is number 15. There's 14 in a week, 7 days a week, two meals a day. The 15th meal of the week is Shalosh Shuras, which the Ben Ish Chai says. Dr. Goldman pointed this out to me yesterday. Is there's 15 words in Birkas Kohanim, 357, very interesting pattern in general, 357 in Birkas Kohanim, which he says that's why we say Shabbat Shalom, is because we reach Shalom, why? Through the 15th meal of Shalosh Suras, which is the completion of the process of the week. I thank you very much.